And now, your hosts, David D'Lo Lopez and Jason Smith. This is The Metalist.
Well, yeah, go ahead and do the thing.
Yep. Thanks again for joining us whenever you're listening to this, wherever you're listening to this. It's The Metalist Podcast. I'm still David.
And I'm Jason.
And we're going to talk about a band that's not near and dear to a lot of people's hearts. But they're a lot of fun, man. They should be talked about more. We're talking about Supergroup in the biggest of ways. Killer Be Killed. I would have said where they're based out of, but they're kind of all over the country. So first and foremost, in LA, by way of Baltimore, you got Greg Pucciato, formerly of Dillinger Escape Plan. Also has his own solo work. Awesome electronic group, The Black Queen, which also features former Dillinger roadies.
Who else you got? One of my faves.
Yeah, you also got Better Lovers. I had to think about that. Yes. Better Lovers, 3/5 of the Every Time I Die lineup, last Every Time I Die lineup. And then you have recording extraordinaire Will Putney on guitar, also of Fit for an Autopsy and End. And apparently this is his full-time band now. That I didn't realize.
Huh.
This is he's going in going, okay, now that I've been on the production end of things for a while, and End's a part-time thing. Fit for an Autopsy he only records with. This is his last shot at having a full-time going for it band. So I did not know that until he talked about it on Hardlore. So go Will, we're cheering for you here. Hopefully catch you when you play Brick by Brick. It feels like I'm missing something else for Greg. He's got a lot of irons in the fire,
quite a few guest spots too.
Yeah, no kidding. And why not? He was voted Metal Sucks top current metal vocalist, and I would agree. Having said that, who else we got? We got Troy Sanders on bass of Mastodon and
other
because
projects.
I can pull it up. Yeah, well, yeah.
Gone is Gone. I just was talking to you about that I saw on Spotify.
Yeah, was a live bassist of Thin Lizzy for a minute. Well, who else we got? Ben Kohler on drums of Converge. Also of Pigs Must Die, Mutoid Man, Acid Tiger I forgot about, Converge, United Nations, which I think was supposed to be a secret because of some weird contract stuff. He is in All Pigs Must Die with the singer of Hope Conspiracy. Awesome underrated band.
I like that band a lot.
Yep, I forgot he had a brief stint in Cave-In. And then, certainly most prominently, based out of Phoenix, we got Max Cavalera, again by way of Brazil. We've talked about Sepultura, we've talked about Soulfly, next will be Nailbomb eventually, and maybe one day Go Ahead and Die. And Cavalera Conspiracy. Fuck, how could I forget that? Like, dude, what a powerhouse-ass supergroup, man. And before that, you had, what was the guy's name?
Dave Eldritch
of Mars Volta on drum. And then, they only had one tour live, as far as I can tell, and that's where Ben joined. And that was in Australia. Maybe it was when Soundwave was still a thing, which is a while ago at this point. But whereas I believe it was Greg doing the other guitars on this album, on the recording itself, they had Juan Montoya, formerly of Torche, however you're supposed to say that, rest in peace, apparently of a band called Moon Destroys, doing the live guitar so that Greg can do his thing live vocally. Like, damn, man, what a pedigree off the bat.
This might be one of the coolest supergroups around. I mean, most I know certainly. Down is like a really cool supergroup also, because they're like all from New Orleans and they're all in these fucking sick bands, dude.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of their bands like kind of have the same thing going on. Yeah. These guys have nothing. I mean, dude, Dillinger is nothing like Mastodon, which is nothing like Soulfly, which is... nothing like, you know what, it's, yet Greg has, you know, guested on Soulfly stuff. I'm sure, you know, Cavalera, some of the Soulfly stuff could be in the vein of something like a Converge. You know, I'm sure Dillinger's probably proggy enough to be considered something along the lines of like, oh, Mastodon might do that. Like, I mean, But no, none of them are like if you told me, and here's the other cool thing, they're all three singers.
Yeah. That is,
you know,
so
like
sick,
of the main
man.
Guy, whatever. But it's like, yeah. It's really fucking cool how this band, jeez, it's really cool how they sound all together. But I mean, there's big difference between these two albums.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting when I heard this was going to be a thing. It was, we talked about on the Soulfly episode. My favorite song was the one that Greg did on whatever album that would be. I think it was called Rise of the Fallen was the song he was on.
I think so.
And apparently that was what started the whole thing in motion of Greg and Max going, hey man, we should like full on do a thing together. And so apparently, and there's cool pictures where it's them walking down some road with them carrying their guitar cases talking about, because also I would love to find this for everything we just said about Greg. Before he was even in Dillinger, he played in a thrash band where he did play and sing guitar. I would love to find some of that too, to hear what that sounded like. And when I heard they were doing an album together, I was like, yeah, that makes all the sense in the world. Max Cavalera said it was like kind of the modern day of what he did with Nail Bomb with Alex Newport from Fudge Tunnel back in the day. Awesome album. If you haven't ever checked that out, listen to that.
So good, dude.
Yeah. So he was saying this is basically the new Nail Bomb. At first, it was going to be Nate Newton, also from Converge on bass. That would have been cool. He ended up playing on a Cavalera Conspiracy album, though. I think it was the third one, which is fun, too. But what ended up happening was then they got Troy from Mastodon on there, who's also a great vocalist. And hearing him and Greg's voices together was something I never knew I needed in my life. Like, holy shit, does that go together like peanut butter and chocolate, dude, in the best way possible. That was amazing. And then, yeah, so you have the great drumming of Dave Eldritch, of formerly, I believe, of Mars Volta on there on the first album. Produced by Josh Wilbur, who, dude, I couldn't even, like, some guys, I go through their credits, and I'm like, this guy has a lot of credits. I couldn't get through, like, a fifth of Josh Wilbur's credits. There were so many, but he's, you know, prominently, I would say, known for his work with Lamb of God for however many albums that's been at this point. And he also did the more recent Trivium albums, which I think are actually the best ones. You know, Ascendancy notwithstanding.
I've seen his name around quite a bit, though.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's done a ton of stuff. I think he just did some of the newer Megadeth stuff. But yeah, so when I heard this was going to be a thing, I was like, yeah, man, like, sign me all the way up. And then, so the actual first song you heard was Face Down, which has a lot more of that. It's a lot more kind of what Max was doing at the time. You always look at different eras of Max Cavalera's output, and there was a certain, it was like between the first, it was like, I don't know what Soulfly album it would have been, maybe the fifth or sixth, to whenever the first Cavalera Conspiracy album came out, and he kind of had that sound going, where it wasn't the Arthur Rizik kind of throwback to the older Sepultura days, but it also wasn't the more new metal-y days of Soulfly. It was this kind of in-between era. So it sounded like something like that with Greg singing and trading vocals, which was cool. That was cool. I was like, okay, this might be a fun project. Then they put out, and with a full video, I suck at names, I'm sorry, hold on one sec, Wings of Feather and Wax, and I was like, oh, this is what this group can do. Yeah, I'm about this, dude. And it's funny, Greg very distinctly said, yeah, out of all the bands, mine's work with Dillinger is the most different from this. And yeah, I would say that's the case, but like it doesn't sound like anything these guys have done before. Would call it just super good, straightforward, like, you know, not commercial in the sense of there's like commercial aspirations or anything, but it's like commercial in the way that it's catchy and it's like just good, man. I'm just like, wow, this is something else that metal could be. Like, this is sick. And then you hear the rest of the album, and it's awesome, too, in its own way. They described it initially as a mix of, quote-unquote, Sabbath-y doom, a little bit of thrash, a little bit of punk and hardcore, and I would say that's right for the most part, but overall, it's just a fun, super easy-to-listen-to album. It's like, where there's a lot of rough edges on the rest of those guys' stuff, this is a lot more, like, digestible in a good way. this is what I'd love to hear on the radio. This is fucking sick, dude. And then, yeah, so they did one run of shows in Australia close to a decade ago. You know, obviously went back to their respective main bands. Got Ben from Converge in the process. Cranked out a second album that came out mid-pandemic, so unfortunately it kind of got lost in the shuffle. But it's a fun album too, man, so I hope we get more shows and or another album from in the future. I didn't think we'd get a second album, man. I don't know. It's kind of weird to say what was your first exposure, because it really was just a, hey, here's all these other dudes from big prominent bands as well. Did you have a first exposure at all? Or?
Yeah, it was that cable channel that plays metal. I don't know if it was at my parents' house or if it was like at a friend's house. I'm not sure. I don't remember. But I remember hearing Max's voice and going, is there a new Soulfly?
Mm.
And I turned around and looked, and it said this band Killer Be Killed. And I was like, the fuck is that? And I looked it up, and I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I saw like who was actually in it, and I was like, oh, fuck. Like, that's really cool. Shortly after that, I made a Cavalera playlist with like all his guest spots, all the Soulfly stuff, the Sepultura stuff that I wanted to have on there. Mm-hmm. And the Cavalera conspiracy stuff. And one song that's in my list came on. I was just like, I mean, really caught my ear. I was like, holy fuck, dude. Like, not one of the singles or anything, but I mean, yeah, Wings of Feather and Wax. What this whole thing reminds me, especially the first album, is more like, I think the first album's more on the, this was like Max and Greg's thing.
Right. Now, yeah.
I speculate when Troy is singing, I'm not entirely sure that it's not him, only because I'm pretty sure Greg could probably sound like that. But
probably pretty close, yeah.
I speculate when he's singing, and then everybody else is Greg, and then Max, you can't mistake Max for, you know, anybody else for Max. I mean, mm-hmm. He's pretty easy to tell who's who, but it really does sound like, I mean, especially this first album has a lot more of that. It surprised me that Ben Kohler is the drummer on the next album and not this one.
I can see because that,
of the style that they're playing. It is more punky. It is more core. It's just more that fucking little bit more of an erratic, but it's faster paced. It's a little more spastic in the drumming. I mean, you know, a lot of the riffing, a lot of the stuff is definitely like, okay, this is for sure. Like fucking honestly, like, and I say this as someone who's not really familiar with Dillinger's Escape Plan, like at all. It really sounds like Soulfly mixed with Mastodon. Like, yeah, that's what it reminds me of. But also throwing in Greg's capabilities to play or to be kind of in that normal metal range.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can at most of the time does sing the way he does, it's like, oh man, like this really is more of like, and then the second album, I don't feel that same way at all. I feel like it's more of a normal metal. I mean, I guess what I consider normal metal, you know, but like, I don't hear a lot of the Soulflyism. I don't hear a lot of the kind of the Mastodon craziness, and crazy, not heavy, crazy and like, you know, busy and, mm-hmm. and you know, a bit proggy and stuff like that. Like, I don't hear a lot of that in the second one. The second one reminds me of like a normal metal album that has Max, Troy, and Greg singing on mm-hmm. it, and at the very least Max and Troy playing on it. I don't know if Greg plays guitar on the albums or not, but
he did on the first. I would have to suspect he did probably, on the second.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
he was the one playing the leads, I believe.
Oh, nice. But yeah, it's just so weird to me that it's like, man, these two albums sound completely different to me.
Yeah.
And not just the sound. It's the writing and all that stuff where it's like I said, I feel like the first one was definitely like music-wise, I feel like it was more of like almost more Max-focused. Mm-hmm. And the second one seems like all of them together.
Yeah. No, that's definitely a thing for sure, because it did start out as just Max and Greg, right? And then now you got, well, we got a full-fledged band, right? Like, for the next one. And then part of me also goes, yeah, you got, in the first one, a lot more pieces of their other stuff, primarily Max, right? So it's cool to hear, oh, here's what this would all sound like together. But then it's also like, yeah, but then you got this thing that's like none of those bands, and it's just Kill or Be Killed, right? So I like the idea. It's just like, okay, we got all the pieces out for the other bands. Now let's just be Kill or Be Killed in the second album, right?
Yeah, the second one sounds more of like a, it's more cohesive in the sense of like, this is what it would be if we were all in a band together.
Mm-hmm.
Where the first one sounds like a super group, you know, got together. And I mean, to some degree, Down would have been this had it not just been for that Black Sabbath through line, where it was like, okay, we're all going to get together and basically play Black Sabbath songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, okay, so it's kind of like Black Sabbath with Phil Anselmo singing, you know, yeah. To some degree. It's, you know, but those other albums became more of like, okay, this is what Down is. And that might be why right. A lot of people really love Nola and they don't really like a lot of the other albums. You know what I mean? Like they like them, but they don't love them. Like Nola is beloved.
Yeah.
And
which is a bummer, because I still love, not that I don't mean, love I like Nola, a lot but of the I albums, love,
but
I love Two so much, dude.
Yeah. I mean, and it's like, okay, you know, and it just kind of happens that way. For obvious reasons. I mean, it's like, oh, you know, I mean, 6 Feet Under was easily, it was just like, yeah, what would happen if Chris Barnes sang over top of Obituary music?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's for literally sure. That for like two or three albums mm-hmm. or something like that. And it's like, okay, you know, and then eventually became its own thing. However you feel about it, it's up to you, but it became its own thing. And it's like, because it's no longer a side project, it's the project where it would be hard. You know, it's probably harder for other people to do, you know, a one-off thing and not have their current thing bleed into it. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like something that would be kind of hard to do. But people do it all the time. I mean, there's, and I'm not counting the guys that are, you know, just already in several projects. I'm talking about guys that have had one project for a long time and then went to a different project. Like that would be a little more difficult. So 6 years, you know, 6 years later, you get this second album and it's like, yeah, dude, like this, you know, like it's kind of weird for me. So I see the first album, it's like, man, this is exciting. It's a little more raw. It's a little more, I guess raw would be kind of the word I'm looking for. It's very energetic and it's very, I guess it's, I already said it. It's just exciting to hear it all together. And then the second one is like, oh man, like this one is like way more focused.
Yeah.
And it's like, it makes me think, like, when I hear it, it's like, man, like I could picture this first album coming out as a thing like, okay, all their bands broke up, they're gonna try and, you know, get with these all-star lineups and start another band, which happens all the time, and sometimes it works and sometimes it don't, but most of the time it doesn't. And so they got together, they did this thing, and then they just toured for 6 years, and all of a sudden, bam, you have this fucking second album, and it's like, boom, this is what it is. Like, now we know each other. We know each other's tendencies. The difference is, like, none of that happened.
Right.
It just sounds like that. And I think it's so fucking sick that it sounds like that, because I just don't know how all of a sudden it just sounds so much more like they know each other more. They, you know, maybe they had more time to write it. But, I mean, they're all in bands. So it's not like they have a ton of time to just like live with each other for fucking months and months, you know? So I'm just like, or I don't know, maybe they do. You know, it's like, but
yeah, for sure.
But it seems like that. And it's really fucking cool, man. I still have a hard time. Like there's only one vocal or one voice I can ever really hear that I think is probably Troy. But I also don't necessarily know what all he sings in Mastodon either. You know, so it's like,
it was easier to pick out a front person in Mastodon.
You know, because
probably
they all,
on that first album,
they all sing too, dude. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, now it's all of them for sure.
It's like,
yeah.
It's like, fuck, man. Like, so, and nowadays we have vocalists that can do so many different styles, and you know, you can make somebody sound, you know, the way with just your voice alone, let alone any effects and post-production, where you can make somebody sound like everybody. And I'm not talking about the AI stuff. I'm just talking about just in general EQing and, you know, things of that nature. It's not weird for all these different voices to be one guy.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't seem that weird to me that this could all possibly be Greg singing, aside from the parts that are obviously Max Cavalera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but one thing I do love about this band, like one thing I like about Mastodon, dude, fucking Troy is awesome on the bass, dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
The playing here is really cool because Max can do a lot more than people think. And I think it's just because people forgot. And Soulfly got tagged early on as a new metal band. Listen to newer Soulfly, dude. They don't just play that same old shit anymore. He plays a lot of different stuff. And then go listen to old Sepultura. The dude can play.
Yep.
You know, it's like he didn't just forget how to fucking play. You know, and then you listen to this and you're like, yeah, dude, like he's able to throw in different riffs. And whether he wrote it or not, it's fucking cool because, you know, you do have probably, you know, Greg writes, and Greg is in a, you know, has done several things where he's done a lot of commercial stuff or commercial sounding mm-hmm. stuff. You know, and then obviously Mastodon. I mean, fuck, dude. Like, those dudes do all kinds of shit. So it's like...
Love a good mix.
You what?
I love a good mix like that,
it's,
too.
It's
like,
so like, cool because it's not what I would consider proggy, where it's, like, just weird to be weird. But a lot of mm-hmm. Mastodon stuff isn't just weird to be weird. It's out there, but it's not really out there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're not heavy, in my opinion. I don't think they're heavy on the prog. I think they're definitely a prog group, but I don't think they're heavy on the prog side. I think they're heavier on the metal rock stoner side. But like,
mm-hmm.
it does come into this stuff where you have all this cool thing. One thing I don't like about the newest album is there are a few like quote unquote Max parts where
right.
they. It seems kind of shoehorned in, like, okay, we have to do a heavy part so Max can sing. I'm like, Max can just do his voice over whatever the fuck. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why you thought that. But I mean, again, that could be like, you know, hey, man, we didn't just tour for 6 years.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and that's the part that makes me think that, you know, that keeps me, you know, of the mind of like, oh, yeah, like these guys aren't in this only, this isn't their one band. They're not around each other all the time. They haven't been doing this a long time with each other. And so it's like, yeah, that's about the only thing that reminds me of that is some of those shoehorned in parts of those quote unquote breakdowns, you know, quote unquote heavy parts where it's like, okay, we got to get Max in a spot here. And it's like, man, just fucking throw him in one of those other parts.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I think that would sound awesome. What would it sound like with Max Cavalera singing over a really catchy open chorus? You know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, I mean, where like the first album just in general seemed a little bit on the heavier side, not a heavier side, but like not, it didn't seem more, it seems more on the underground side.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think whenever they did go to those parts, it seemed more of a natural flow to the song. But that could be because, like I said, the majority of that first album does sound like Max written.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny because, like, I can see parts of what you're talking about on the first album as well, but the transitions definitely work better. Better being a relative term, but yeah, so that makes those other parts stand out even more on the second album. You know, it's funny too, that's the same. It's the same crew for the most part behind and in front of the knobs, man. Both done by Josh Wilbur, There's, you know, I've gotten good enough to where I can pick out certain things about production. There's differences in the two albums that I can notice, but I can't pinpoint what they are. Like, if you go flip back and forth between the songs, something's different. It might be as simple as mastering's different, too. Something that simple, but I, you know, flip back and forth, and I'm like, oh, something's noticeably different, even though, you know, the heart and soul is still there. Both good, just something I noticed when we were leading up to this. Fucking both fun albums. It does seem like they both start off very strong towards the beginning, and then they're still good as you go on, but, like, it almost seems like the more melodic stuff is kind of up front, and then it gets a little off kilter from there, but not much, just in relation to those first.
The end song is, like, a weird... Well, no, I guess Forbidden Fire is just parts of it have this really, like, swirly, trippy thing with the bass going.
Yeah.
But it does have a little bit of a heavier, like, sludgier type riff at the end. So maybe it is just Reluctant Hero. It's a really weird thing because, like, it's so soft and buildy for, like, almost 2.5 minutes, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, before it kicks into anything.
Yeah, it gets a little...
So yeah, that's kind of...
Slightly wander off the path towards the end on both albums.
Yeah.
But you're talking very relative because because the beginnings of each album are so much more straightforward, right?
In a good way. I feel like they're smart and, like, front load the album.
Yeah.
You know, but there's some fucking gems in there in the later cuts, dude, for sure.
Yeah. And as I was going to both, I was like, man, I feel like I remember favoring the first album more than the second. And then when I went back to them both, I was like, nah, I kind of like them both the same. Having said that,
I went both ways. When the second album first came out, I was like, oh, I definitely like the first one better. Started listening to the second one more, and I'm like, oh, man, I really like this one, too. Mm-hmm. And then the other day, I was listening to it, and I was like, I kind of like the second one better. And now, I mean, obviously I like both, but I mean, I still kind of lean more towards the second album.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think I might too, based on my list. That's what I was looking at going, huh? I didn't notice that till right before we were getting ready to go. Most of my songs are on the second album.
Of course, I guess so. Yeah, I guess my list favors the second album also.
Like, more than I would have thought. Like, this is
interesting. Oh, really? So, yeah, I kind of figured it was going to.
Yeah, I am legitimately surprised. Both awesome. You know, I'd be curious as to what a third one sounds like. So, hopefully see you in another... Actually, it's only 2 years at this point now. Huh. Now, you know, granted, prior trajectory's nothing to go by, but just... Something I noticed. Is there anything else we feel we need to get into before we get to the list?
I don't think so.
Yeah, because this is pretty straightforward, just like the band themselves, which, again, I love. I love proggy, weird, you know.
Well, here's extended... the thing. We already did an episode on Soulfly and Sepultura.
That's true.
And so we've covered a lot of Max, but I also don't want to step on a fucking Mastodon episode or a Dillinger episode. Or anything, Greg. You know what I mean? So it's like you don't want to get too or even like a Converge. We haven't even done that. So it's like, I don't know. Don't want to get too into the individual of it. You know what
absolutely.
I mean?
Yeah. Which is kind of what we were talking about with the second album. This is just kill or be killed, right?
Yep.
So that's kind of cool, man. I'm for it. So let's start with some honorable mentions. You want to kick it off this time?
Yeah. First one I'll say is Curb Crusher.
That's a good one. That almost made my honorable mentions.
Just that dun, 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 like totally is just like full Soulfly with like it's like with a killer Greg chorus.
Yeah.
The chorus is just like, man, I just got, you know, and it's more of a thrashy on the second one. And it's, you know, Max doing his thing. And, you know, honestly, I don't remember what song I heard when I heard them the first time. I was just trying to figure it out, looking at the wiki and stuff. It could have been Curb Crusher. I know for a fact it wasn't Wings of Feather and Wax. It wasn't anything that catchy. It could have been Curb Crusher or Face Down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but let's see. So like, oh, and then the end, dude, when it hits that dun, like, oh, you know, if you ever crush your demons, you know, if you ever missed Max doing thrash stuff, man, you really got to listen to the Cavalier Conspiracy doing the old Sepultura stuff. You got to listen to Cavalier Conspiracy, especially the later albums.
You
have to listen to the later fucking Soulfly, and you have to listen to this, at least this first album. Dude, he's been reminding people.
Yeah.
For years, dude, that he...
That's a great way to put it,
that he can play the fuck out of fucking some thrash riffs, too. Like, he could probably out-hardcore most hardcore players, and he could probably out-thrash more thrash guys. And he'll probably do it with four strings.
Yeah, exactly. He said specifically in reference to what Cavalera Conspiracy's at now, he feels they're at their best when it's that old mix of thrash and death.
Yeah, you know, dude,
classic Sepultura with a little hardcore in there. He says that's the perfect Cavalera sound, and I would have to agree. As much as I love all the forays into the other stuff with the, you know, the new metalier stuff, for lack of better definition, the tribal stuff, even the forays into industrial with Nailbomb, but like, hey man, I don't want to say if it ain't broke, don't fix it, but at the same time, it's like, hey,
oh yeah,
what works works, right? So yeah, man. Anything else honorable mention wise?
So the Great Purge.
Yeah,
I mean,
good one.
It's really fucking cool. This is one of the ones, because they have the little delay, like guitar in there, and I mean, just the bass sound, it just reminds me of like, oh yeah, one of those Mastodon fuckers is in this band, you know?
It's right, like, yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's, because it's weird that it's in the sense that it's different. But it's not like so out there that it's like, oh, this is totally proggy. But man, band just on those toms, doing all the tom work his playing on this album with his you know, quote unquote hardcore is the first album that Elrich guy, whatever, playing the, you know, slamming that China cymbal. Dude, band's tom stuff that he does on this second album is just like, again, yeah, I'm not
Ben
super I'm not super familiar with Converge either. And just like getting to hear Ben Kohler play, I'm just like, man, like this fucking guy is like awesome, dude.
He's a legit wild,
you know, and
man,
it makes me want to check out Converge, even though I know I'm probably not going to like most of it. It also makes me want to check out Dillinger Escape Plan, and I'm probably not going to like a lot of it. But
there is absolutely a guarantee from me and the rest of the world that you will love the song One of Us is the Killer.
Okay. That
stands out so much in their discography.
That's Dillinger?
That's Dillinger, and that's their biggest song.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, yeah, I mean, I know, but still, it makes me want to check it out, and I'm going to fucking check it out. Obviously, we're going to be doing episodes at some point on these bands, so it's like all good. But but another one that I had is Inner Calm from Outer Storms, which I really love that title. And again, dude, it starts off with tom stuff. You know, and it's like, maybe some of that for me is like Igor.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you have Max in your band, you better be bringing it with the toms.
Well, yeah. Or don't play him at all. And just be like, just no, we're not doing that. But if you're going to play him and Max is in your band, you better be good at it. But I love it, man. Like, just those fucking... all this fucking tom work through this whole first part, dude. Like, you know, Greg singing over top of it. And then, I mean, I think it's right around I think it's 2 minutes. Like, it is... Here comes Max. And this... I think it was this one where I was like, this one isn't shoehorned. Because They do this a lot too, where they have like a kind of like a From Dusk Till Dawn type song, where it's like for half of it's one thing and the other half it's another thing.
Yeah, and I like that.
This is one of those. So it's like this big buildup thing with the toms and Greg fucking singing. He's got, you know, some effects on his vocal stuff. And it's kind of just like this big long intro in a song that's like 3:52. It's like a 2 minute intro. And then you have a 1:52 long song of just this heavy fucking Max thing. Like, it's really fucking cool, dude, because to have someone like Max in your group, where he's not the main guy, obviously, like Soulfly, when you have a group like this, it's like, man, you can really do that From Dusk to Dawn thing, because he stands out so much in the way he sounds. You know, where it's like, okay, maybe that was Greg, you know, well, actually, it's always just maybe that was Troy.
Yeah, know? There you go.
It's always Greg until maybe it might be Troy. And then, you know, and then all of a sudden Max. So it's like to have this cool little like inner calm where Greg is doing a little bit more of the singy songy thing and, you know, a little bit of Mastodon trippiness to all of a sudden fucking boom, here comes the Outer Storms. Da, 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 you know, and fucking Max is fucking going. And I mean, there's a nice solo towards the end of it. It's fucking cool, dude. It was really close to making my list. Those are the three honorables that I had. What about you?
So I got two, one from each album. First one is Snakes of Jehovah.
Nice.
From the self-titled. I really liked it because it's that little bit at the you know, towards the beginning. I would call it like, you know, the stabby bits. I love a good stabby bit. You hear our Despised Icon episode, right? Yeah. And then it picks up towards the end. And then it has that little bit of, you know, that classic kind of chanty, for better, or lack of better definition, kind of Max vibe. You know what I mean? It's got a lot of little flavors in one package that I really like. And then from Reluctant Hero, we got Filthy Vagabond. It's fuck got a, yeah, you know, what I would call, you know, the word that comes to mind is fun. It's fun. It's fast. It's catchy.
It's love a good, it's like a song riff from the first album.
Yeah.
But it's exactly got woes, and, dude.
Yeah.
You know, whoa.
And, yeah, exactly. It's chanty again, but we're talking like, you know, soccer stadium chanty now, right? It's got a fucking honest to God chorus.
Oh yeah.
And then towards the end, they bring it with the vocal harmonies, dude. Like, again,
with a sick breakdown. They're like doing vocal harmonies over top of just like this awesome fucking little breakdown. Not a core breakdown, but like just an actual breakdown. Just like, okay, yeah, everything's slowing down. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I'm just going to say for everybody who hasn't, because I'm looking at these numbers, man. Apparently, no one's listening to these guys. Y'all got to listen to this album, man. This, if you haven't listened to it, man, or even if you did and you listened to it one time, dude, give it a re-listen, man. This fucking whole album is so fucking sick, dude.
Yeah, it definitely flew under the radar than a little more than it should have.
Well, because it also came out in 2020 when it's like, okay, and now all of a sudden, like, every band on the planet is putting out an album.
Yeah.
It's a bit tough, and I get it. It's just, man, you guys really got to revisit something. Like, this, myself included, dude, I need to listen to it even more, because it's like, every time I do hear it, I'm just like, fuck, why don't I listen to this more? Mm-hmm. It's right. So fucking good, dude. I was really glad you fucking came up with, like, you mentioned Kill or Be Killed, because it's like, yeah, dude. Like,
yeah, yeah. Thanks again, Esty.
Oh, is that? Yeah, dude.
That was an Esty suggestion, yeah. Awesome, dude. And it worked out great, yeah, man. So, yeah, like, really should be talked about more. I get why you wouldn't be mentioned in the same light as the main bands or whatever.
Sure.
For what it is, based on its own merits, it's a lot, you know, it's a lot better than it gets talked about. And I think it, you know, hopefully, again, they'll do another one when things are a little less occupied, shall we say. That's it for honorable mentions, man. Do you want to kick it off with your number five?
So mine starts off with a little bit of feedback. We're going into a little bit of fucking Tom action. And then we're getting into a little bit of a a la Slipknot a little bit. And then this is the voice that I always figure is Troy. But it could.
Yes, that is 100%.
Is it? Okay. Because yeah. I was like, I could totally see Greg sounding like that as well.
Yeah, because then Greg comes in and it sounds awesome too. Yeah.
Dream Gone Bad is. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, why didn't these guys get together sooner?
Yes. I mean, yeah,
fucking.
Absolutely.
It's just like it's like a perfectly covered bass.
Mm-hmm.
And then just that never too late. Oh my God, dude. Like, he is really, you know, time to turn it all around. He's really becoming one of my favorite vocalists. He's, I mean, he's
one of the goats, man.
So fucking sick. And I mean, just Ben killing it underneath this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wonder, like, I would love to see, like, the songwriting process as far as, like, I mean, I'm sure they're all, like, you know, away from each other. They're probably writing a lot of stuff away and, you know, sending each other files and all that sort of thing. And I get that. That's how a lot of bands do it now, period. Especially probably these guys, because they're all in other bands as well. But, like, man, I just would love to see one of those old school DVDs or videos, VHSs, of, like, if these guys were all writing this shit in a rehearsal room and, like, the bouncing of ideas and, like, you know, who's writing what and fucking all. Like, I mean, because holy fuck, dude. Like, the more I've been listening to this stuff, dude, like, I swear, like, I think they're almost at the point where it's like, man, I just kind of feel like they might be the best supergroup ever. No, yeah. No offense to any of the others, and definitely no offense to Down. I love Down. I love Down more than goddamn Pantera. I listen to Down more than Corrosion of Conformity. So that's a tough, you know, that's a tough one to beat. I think that's probably a lot of people's favorite. You know, and granted, I mean, there's several others that just don't have the catalog, but I mean, fuck, dude, this shit is so good. And then all of a sudden, man, you hit, like, again, you're probably about 2 minutes in, and all of a sudden, that just, dude, we're going to Chugtown, dude.
Yep.
You know, population Max Cavalera. Let's go. It's so fucking sick. And I mean, it doesn't sound all that shoehorned in. You know, some of these.
Yeah.
You know, and the way it starts stomping at the end of the chugs, dude, it starts, instead of like stomping into the chug part, it actually stomps out of the chug part and into another melodic part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just fuck, dude. And that's why it's mostly when I think it's like the first, well, it's probably this song and then probably the Intercom from Outer Storms are really the two first ones I heard where I was like, man, like, this really sounds like, you know, they've been touring literally for 6 years, and that's why it's been so long since the last album.
Mm-hmm.
What is number five? Oh, we're only on five. Fuck. For some reason, I thought we were.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Oh, it's because we did quite a few honorable mentions. I forgot.
Yeah. I'm going From a Crowded Wound.
Nice.
And this is where that Sabbath-y doom thing really comes into play. It's a feeler. It's very vibey. Starts pretty slow and then builds from there. But that main groove riff, dude, is head nod city for sure.
You remember
the different
Keep It in the Family? This is that same type of dude, this is my number three.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, it's heavy as fuck, dude.
Yeah. It's a different vibe from the rest of the album.
Oh yeah,
you know, there's other slower bits, but this is a much more stompy, trudging. Is that what I'm after?
Oh yeah, dude. It's, you know, like, and they got that weird, like, that kind of like that filter at the start of it where it's like pretty muffled, but unlike mm-hmm. other albums where it, like, and then you're back, you're like, you're up to the regular hi-fi sound. It goes over a long period of time before it starts sounding. And dude, again, I guess I just really wasn't thinking about it, but dude, fucking Tom City, dude. Just outside of Rift City is Tom City, dude. Ben Kohler's over there with Igor fucking fighting over who's the fucking mayor, you know, because they just fucking kicked Dave Lombardo out or something, gave him his own fucking suburb. I don't know. Because holy shit, like, so much of this first part of this one. But yeah, the sludginess of this song is, so fucking good, dude. And it's...
Yeah, and it's a good way to break up the other parts of the album.
Yeah.
It's placed... pretty perfectly.
6 out of 11. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, that little die out part in the middle. Oh, yeah. Dude.
Solid innings, man. Let's see. Where's that put us at? Is that your number 4?
So I would be at 4.
Yeah.
Oh, and then dude, like the end, man, with that fucking bass doing his little fucking... I mean, fuck, dude. That's so fucking sick, dude. And then it's just like just the toms going and that chunky ass riff. Fuck. So good, dude. So my number 4 builds up and breaks into pretty much a Soulfly song. IED. It's another one with a lot of tom work. But I mean, fuck, dude, that like that chunky part, like right in the middle, that I think is Troy. I think it's Troy and Greg singing. It's so good, man. And then you're right back into some higher aggro vocals from Greg, like towards the end. Then all of a sudden, fucking, it just like retards. And detunes and fucking holy fuck. The whole end, that like the end breakdown into that feedback shit. It's like a
journey, man.
Kind of feedback thing. And it's just like chaos rise. Like, fuck, dude. It's so fucking sick. Cause I think this was like, I think because when I first looked it up on Spotify, I was trying to find the song, you know, that one I heard on the TV. And I for some reason, because every time I used to look for my number one song too, for some reason, IED stands out. It might be the periods. I always click on IED. So I also think like it's probably the song of theirs I've heard the most. Because usually when I click onto it at first, because it builds up, I let it go. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, this isn't the song, but I kind of want to just keep listening.
Yeah, no, for sure.
You know, so IED, fucking sick song. What is number 4 for you?
My number 4, completely the opposite of what I just said. We're going Animus. Animus? Yeah, Animus. Short, fast, rager. Like... I think it's a little less than 2 minutes or something like that. It's not very long at all. No, yeah. It's another, talk about a different way to break things up in the album. It's a minute 7. Man.
Wasn't like, this one of their singles?
I could believe that.
I thought it was like one of the preview tracks or something. Not preview tracks, but one of the pre-release ones or something.
Yeah, I could believe that. I there seems to be more singles on Reluctant Hero than the first one.
Yeah, we should also mention that From a Crowded Wound is like 7 minutes and 11 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. So talk about contrast, right? So that's this. It's a much more dynamic album, I think, now that I think about it, like than the first even. But nah, man, you know me. I love a good short, fast song. This has got it in spades, right? So, you know,
it's like over a minute shorter than the shortest song on the first album.
Yeah.
Right? It's essentially a grindcore song, dude, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. Which that short song on the other album almost made my at least honorable mentions too, man. But like, yeah, man, it's everything in the kitchen sink. Deceivingly so, because I'm just realizing this, right? Especially because I did not intentionally put them together for that reason. But now that I see the contrast, I'm like, oh, shit. Okay, cool. You know what I mean? And then you said...
From a Crowded Wound is my number 3, so we need your number 3.
Well, as a matter of fact, my number 3 is Dream Gone Bad.
Nice.
So, a lot of what we said there, but just like, it's the perfect lead single for the second album, right? It's the other companion piece. It's the more, it's the melodic one. And just like we were talking about, yeah, the
I feel like more people should know this song.
Yeah, and the utilization of Max on vocals, kind of what we were talking about. That's perfect, man. There's nothing like, oh, we need to do this here so he can do it over. It works perfectly, you know, for what it is. He should do more of his vocal style over stuff that wouldn't necessarily be run of the mill. You know what I mean? Like it's fucking sick. It makes sense. That's the one they had the video for. Like,
so good.
I really don't know what else to say other than so good in the most simplest of terms. Right. So, oh my gosh, man.
Oh yeah.
What really driving home how underrated this entity is, man. Everybody go check out these albums. There's only two. Hopefully there'll be a third one.
Yeah.
Day.
Yeah.
So on that note, what's your number two?
Deconstructing Self-Destruction.
Well, guess what? Mine is too.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Dude, it's so fucking good. So we were at the gym the other day. Actually made it to the gym. All right, yeah, it was the other day. And I put my headphones on. And I'm like, all right, for some reason my Spotify is not running right now. What's the problem? Hello?
Be cool, Spotify.
So I'm like, okay. I mean, I've heard, obviously, I've definitely heard the first album more than the second one. And I was like, you know, all right, let's start with the second one. So I'm on the treadmill and I throw the fucking second one on. I hear this opening and I'm like, all right, cool, cool. And then all, you know, I mean, it's just that dun, 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 dun. It almost reminds it, well, not almost, it reminds me of Gojira a little bit. That opening riff, and I'm just like, but it's Greg singing, and it's just like, fuck, dude.
Yeah.
And he's got these high things, these backups. It's all of a sudden here comes Max, and it's just like, Jesus Christ, dude. Like, and then, you know, they open up into the chorus, or I guess it might be the pre-chorus. I think it'd probably be it might be considered a pre-chorus. But it's this part where it's like, find the way, you never get a second chance. Fuck them all. The only way, the only follow your plan. Like, fucking dude.
That's why it's my number two, man.
Fucking good, dude. God damn it, man.
Catchy as hell, like, man.
The cadence, the stuff he's saying, and the bow, now, 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 like the shit at the towards the end. And it's like, yeah. Cool little guitar solo. It's like, and then that fucking banana. Here's my sign. Live as if you might. Born into the fight. Never die. Here's my sign. Give into the ride. That shit at the end is almost Aussie-ish. Fuck, dude. There's a lot happening for 4.5 minutes, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they really... When I first listened to it, it was just like, it was one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, man. I mean, it was kind of the opposite, like what you're saying with Creed, where it was like, oh yeah, it's like, man, it was the same thing as you were saying with Creed, except these guys deliver, where it's like, man, I hope the rest of the album's like this.
Yeah,
you know, and,
exactly.
And it's like, because it's like, there's, I always like that. So it is different than, like, you know, the, you know, Funeral Doom or even Death Doom and a lot of the gaze bands that I listen to and that sort of thing, where it's like, you know, there's no fucking urgency in that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
we're taking our fucking time and we're going to love it. This shit, there's like a sense of urgency because it's like, there's like, we got to get, it's like, I want to get this riff. I want to get this riff. Well, I got this riff. I got this riff. Well, I want this part. Let's have this part. The producer wants this part to go to this part. We got to figure out how to put all this in there. How are we going to get there without making this a fucking 8-minute song? And it's like, boom, let's fucking get in, cut the fucking fat, get to it. Pitter patter, let's get at her. And they do, man. They get after it, like, quick. And it's all, I've always loved that when bands do that, man, where there's just like, we got somewhere to go and we're going to get there. And, you know, there's something to be said about choosing the proper BPM for your song. I think it's kind of an underrated thing because realistically you could play any song in any BPM. I mean, within reason, obviously, but you know, 500 BPM is a bit ridiculous. So's two, but Imagine that, two beats per minute. That's rough. That's Sun-O. But like,
yeah,
it's, there's subtle things where it's like, I mean, even 5 BPM can pep up a song, you know, to fit a certain vibe, or slow down a song and just enough to fit a certain vibe. So it's like, when you hear these songs like this song where, you know, you do have a lot going on, but you also have these catchy things going on. It's so cool to me because, like I said, I think I said it in that Creed episode, was like, when I hear melody lines, certain melody lines, I mean, especially those ultra catchy ones, I'm just like, God damn, like how do you write that? You know what I mean? Like it's like, yeah, oh, this must be a producer helping because producers are experts. You know, it's like, no, not really. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of dudes. But like, I also do the same thing with song structuring, you know, with everything from Brutal Death, where I'm like, how the fuck do they all know what they're playing at the same time?
Yeah.
To something like this, where it's like, how did they make this super catchy shit Tom thing flow right into a big open chorus-y type thing, go right into this, you know, heavy fucking Max Cavalera fucking chunky fucking deal back to, and it's just like, but it all makes sense. And it's like, it's just songwriting, you know? And it's like, sometimes it really is as simple as, let's just play everything 4 times, you know? Yeah. And then other times it's a little more complex than that, you know? Two, sometimes it's completely esoteric almost, you know, where you're doing the Joey Sturgis Attila thing where you're just like, well, I have this riff is the ace of spades, this riff is the ace of fucking hearts, this riff right here is the 10 of clubs, and this, you know, do the whole fucking thing and then just throw, everybody grab a card, throw it on the ground, that's our riff.
Yeah,
you know, I like that. Shout out Garza Podcast for a little clip on Instagram, tell me about that story. That's a great way to write a song. There's no right or wrong way, so whatever gets your creative juices flowing, that's awesome. And it's like, fuck, to hear something like this, and then my number one also, it's just like, fuck, dude. It's stuff like that that makes me think, like, God damn, like, this has to be, you know, like, the best supergroup, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I got one other supergroup. Maybe we'll get to another day. They're on their albums, twos coming
out. Fucking name it. What is it? What is it? I'll cut it out if I have to.
Umbra Vitae.
Oh, fuck. That's right. I forgot they're fucking, and supposedly, super. God damn it.
Yep. And supposedly second album's going to be way different. God damn, so looking fucking forward to that.
First album is so good, dude. God
damn. Yep. So, moment of truth. We're going to see if we have the same number one again.
Something tells me I doubt it, but let's see.
You think so? Okay. It's you, right? You're going first.
Oh, yeah. Emily? Oh, wait, so what was your number two?
My number two was also, fuck.
Oh, Drink On Bad.
I suck with names. Yep, that's the one.
Wait, no, that was your number three.
Yeah, no, it was, your number two, because I have first. Well, but I said it was the same one.
Oh, Deconstructing Self-Destruction?
That's the one. I knew they both started with D. That's what fucked me up. Oh, wow.
Dude, if we have the same number one after having the same number two, this is going to be really weird. My number one is 12 Labors.
Okay, no problem.
Is that yours?
No.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's why I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right.
I was like, man, like, I really doubt it. Because, like, dude, that fucking do-do-do-do-do-do-do-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- I was at the gym. This is when I was at Ironmonger's gym. And I had basically, so I was going in early. I had a client that was like, I don't know, like 5 a.m., 6 a.m., something like that, like fairly early. And so I would do my workouts like directly after her workout. And usually I was the only one in there. And so I would just, you know, hit the iPad or whatever, listen to one of my playlists because no one else was really in there. You know, until the end of my workout where like Rick could show up and maybe a couple other people. I put on my Cavalera playlist and this song comes on. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And I have to stop my workout, run over to the fucking iPad, and I'm like, holy fuck, this is Kill or Be Killed. I forgot I had this in the playlist.
Yeah, those are the best.
Because at the time, it was still a relatively new thing. Because, I mean, it's not like I heard him in 2014 and fucking just kept listening to him. I just kind of just like, you know, I hadn't really put it in a playlist at all or anything. And I just kind of didn't really forget about it, but also forgot about it.
Yeah.
But it's just like fucking this constellation, strength to enter heaven. Killing a fire-breathing titan. And I'm like, okay, that's got to be Greg, right? That's got to be Troy's lyrics, too.
That's Troy,
I mean,
that's
sure, such
yeah.
a Mastodon thing. And then I started looking at all the fucking lyrics because I know the 12 labors, Hercules. But I thought it could have been metaphorical. No, I started looking at the lyrics. And I'm like, dude, this has to be a Troy song, dude. Like,
I mean, it probably could still be metaphoric, but it could definitely be taken at face value as well.
Well, right, but I mean, he's talking about capture and bring back the Cerberus, dude, defeat the Geryon, yeah. steal the poison apples, murder the Amazon,
all the weird or yeah. otherworldly stuff for Mastodon is actually very
oh yeah
related
sure.
to real, except Moby, except Leviathan. That's just
yeah,
straight up Moby.
That's
Dick.
Definitely like a direct adaptation, but
yeah.
It's such a Mastodon thing to
no,
do.
No, absolutely.
You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, yeah. And I was like, oh my God, it's the literal 12 labors. Dude.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes. But also that whole fucking. It sounds like a Mastodon meets Soulfly with the. It's perfect, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It also has a little bit of the. I think because of that. That kind of riff. I think there was like a little bit of like a Rage Against the Machine vibe in there for me.
Mm.
And that and like the little bit of the rawness on the production or whatever. But dude, at the end, it's got this whole fucking, like this whole almost like System of a Down type thing. Cause it's like so quiet and it's just like drums just busy drums, but they're pushed way back in the mix. It's a little bit of like guitar ambience, not really feedback, but like, you know, lots of reverb, a little bit of like delay stuff. And I think it's like Greg doing the vocals over top of it. And all of a sudden, and fucking here comes Max. Like, it's just like, it turns into like this completely different song where it's like, it hits this this real aggro part, and then it's right back into the fucking constellation, which is like I was kind of surprised in the sense that, like, I usually don't like peppy choruses all that much.
Mm.
I think if I had my choice, I would prefer a big open chorus with this it's not full breakbeat-ish, but, like, it's a little bit of that vibe.
Yeah, I get that.
But then at the end, the triplets with the China, right into bop, 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 and it's just fucking done. Fuck, dude. It's such a cool song because this was the one where I listened to it and I was like, man, I think this might be, someone could probably correct me on it, but as far as I can really recall, this might be like probably their most out there song, which in my head makes it the most Mastodon song. Because it really doesn't do anything. I don't think it does much of anything twice other than the chorus. I think that's it. Everything else is different. It switches every time.
Mm.
What is D-Lo's number one?
Mentioned it earlier, man. Wings.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Yep, yep, yep. It had to be on there, man. I mentioned it already. Wings of Feather and Wax. And yeah, man, I talked about, yeah, Face Down. Oh, this is cool. Yeah, it sounds like a Max Cavalera song with Greg singing over it and some interjections from Troy.
It's like
here
a little
there.
Bit of a two
cool.
stepper to start it yeah. off, dude.
Yeah, and then when I heard this, I was like, oh, this is something way new and unexpected in the best way possible. I was like, oh man, I want to hear more of this. Like, Damn, I wish there was more stuff like this that's just
catchy. Dude, when he hits that, catchy. I never stop to notice the fire in your head. Oh my god, it's so good, dude.
They both sound so fucking good. If the band was just the two of them, I'd be fine with that too.
Yeah, dude, and then
And so there was that whole thing where it's just like, and then Max interjects with his, the end is just the beginning. Like, and that works in there too. Dude. And that's the funny thing is like we talk about, like, it's like almost like the Titanic crashing into the Jaws all of a sudden. Just like, what the fuck? Kind of where it's just like, oh, here's the Max part. And it's, you know, the angrier, thrashier riff that you would expect from him. And he's talking about fire again, as he does. But it works. It's another way to break up the song. So it's not just the same thing all the way through. And then you got a cool little Greg lead in there. At least that's him in the video. I would assume the song too. I'm guessing that's that Juan Montoya gentleman, in the, live performances, of which there's not been one in a decade or so, but, dude, just front to back, it's a solid ass song. If there was any one song I would recommend to check out for Kill or Be Killed for them specifically, it's this, and apparently a lot of people agree because it's the biggest song on Spotify. Like,
I feel like if I had known that it was Greg earlier, I think I probably would have checked out like more Dillinger by now.
Mm.
I just don't. I don't think I looked it up, dude. I think I mentioned the song, and a friend of mine told me that it was a new Max side project. Because I don't think I knew that Greg and Troy was in the band, like, for quite a while.
Mm.
I knew it as just, like, a Max Cavalera side band.
Okay, I can see that. You know, I mean, but he's still arguably the biggest one out of all of them, maybe. Maybe Mastodon's pretty big now, too.
Probably, but, yeah. I don't know, I feel like with Mastodon, you don't really see Troy Sanders' name as much as
that's
Brent
true
Hines
too.
And Bron Daler. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. Which is weird to think about.
That is weird to think about actually. Yeah.
Interesting. But yeah, man, it's just sick. Sometimes just sick is just sick and it's awesome. We'll get onto a thing about Dillinger another day. It's funny. Friend of the show, Aaron from God Hammered, talks about, he only really knows the first Dillinger, album, which is the one they're coming back to play. And
with the other singer, right?
Yeah, that's the only one that didn't have Greg. That's the only full length that didn't have Greg. And that was 5 years apart from the album that came after that. And between the two, there was an EP with Mike Patton on vocals. And so that'll be interesting for another day. But yeah, man, obviously the parts are bigger than the whole in this case. But like, the whole is fucking awesome.
Oh, so
good, what she said. And I would implore more people to check this out. Way not talked about enough.
You guys have to check it out.
Yeah, I'm not asking you for shit this week. I'm telling you to check out Kill or Be Killed.
And tell other people to check it out. Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. So on that note, let's top 10. Because I was looking at the 5 that's on Spotify, yeah. So, the phone. Yeah.
So the top 10, Animus is 737,822, but it's listed at number 3. So that's number 10. And then we're going to go down to Fire to Your Flag, which is just over 1 million. And then Inner Calm from the Outer Storms, which is 1.4 million. And that would be, the next one would be Face Down.
Okay.
2,204,000.
Wonder if that's because that was the first one.
And then Snakes of Jehovah, 2,346,000. So that's number 5, I think. And then, yeah, number 2 is listed. I think it's probably the real number 5, which is Curb Crusher. At just over 3 million.
Yeah.
And then pretty there's good, man. Dream Gone Bad, which is 3.7 million. Into Melting of My Marrow, which is 3.9 million. That surprised me.
Yeah.
Deconstructing Self-Destruction, which would be the number 2, at 4.5 million. And then at number 1, Wings of Feather and Wax at 8.2 million.
Mm-hmm. Tastes good. So yeah, man, check out any of those songs if you haven't already.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Need to get these guys' number up. Yeah, you know, Max Cavalera hurting, right? But, you know, like, legitimately. Like,
yeah,
like,
I mean, they're all probably doing fine.
But yeah, still. Like, you know, but still. And also, check out this, like, two-month-long tour that Go Ahead and Die's on right now, apparently. They're hitting damn well near every place possible. That's the other Max band we haven't talked about yet is Go Ahead and Die, but they're still relatively new. So we'll get there soon enough. But
I didn't realize there's a playlist on here that's called Maximum Cavalera Playlist.
That's pretty
good. So this is get your maximum dose of all things Cavalera. Max, Igor Amadeus, Zion, Richie, a collaborative.
That's pretty good.
And I mean, it's got Insight, Lodi Kong, fucking Go Ahead and Die, which I've never heard.
They describe themselves as death crust, and I'd say that's a pretty good way to put it.
Dude, how have I not heard that before? Yeah, Nail Bomb, Healing Magic, which I don't know what that is.
That's another Igor Amadeus, I believe.
Really?
I believe,
Fuck, this is a pretty cool playlist, man.
Yeah,
sounds awesome. Kind of digging it, dude. Like,
if it's Igor, does it have Pet Brick on it?
I don't know. Let's see.
Kind of weird, but that is one of his things, so.
No Pet Brick.
Okay, I wonder if they're not on.
Probably just like, because he does a lot of stuff outside of metal and rock. I mean,
oh yeah, yeah. I just wondered. Either way,
but yeah, I just had to look because it's like, oh, they have the. So this is pretty cool too. Something for people to check out, man. Okay, so not just check this band out, but like obviously, like, you know, these guys are from other bands and stuff. But they have a Killer Be Killed Ben Kohler Now Playing playlist.
Oh, I remember seeing that.
They have one for Troy Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming they have one for each member, but let me look. I just noticed because they have the Killer Be Killed complete discography. I'm like, dude, it's two
albums. Yeah, and it's two albums.
He has two albums, but whatever. You know, the only one that they don't have one for is Greg.
Okay. I can see that. I was just going to say, if it's Ben has a list, that might be from around the time the album came out in 2020. So.
Yeah, man. Like, these guys they got a lot of stuff to check out, dude. Like I said, we were talking before we hit record, talking about their other side projects. And I'm like, man, like, I got to check some of these out. Because after hearing this stuff, I'm just like, fuck, dude.
Yeah.
You know, you never know, man. I mean, it's really cool to hear
some
of these guys doing different stuff.
Yeah, granted, this is the only one that is like this, but you might find something you enjoy in the other stuff. Giraffe Tongue Orchestra, wildly different.
Well, yeah, dude, the Black Queen, wildly different, too, and that's one of my favorite things ever, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I love that, man. I listen to it all the fucking time.
Yeah, I regret not seeing them the one time they came to Brick. Maybe it was twice. Hopefully they do it again.
I would definitely go if they came back.
Yep. Until Black Queen returns to Brick by Brick, hit us up at MetalistPod. Everywhere. Well, Metalist Pod Twitter and then Metalist Podcast everywhere. That's Jason you'll be talking to. I'm at Yes It Is I, David, everywhere. Hopefully soon everywhere. And yeah, man. Like, rate, review, subscribe, hit us up. We love hearing from you guys.
Okay, so the song we're gonna play at the end of the episode is from guest of the show, good buddy, fucking Sergeant Slaughter lookalike. Huge Max fan. Huge Sepultura fan, Soulfly, all of it, all Max Cavalera. Our boy Aaron Street.
Hell yeah.
He has a band called The Chaos Pattern. As far as I know, none of it is on actual streaming, but everything is at YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And the song is going to be The Setting Sun. And I just got to say, have you heard any Aaron stuff? I've only heard a couple of songs before, man. And I mean, it's pretty fucking sweet, man. Like, yep. And apparently he has a ton of shit on YouTube, dude.
Yeah, he may have sent me something that's yet to be released the other day. That sounds pretty sweet.
Didn't he fucking tell me that he has like something like 6 albums or some shit?
I have no doubt. Or is it more than this? It might. I could believe that as well. He's constantly cranking stuff out.
So the other guy is, it says A. Grayson.
Yeah.
But I can't remember. I think he told me the guy's first name one time. Let me look and see if.
Yeah, I think he told me too, but I don't know for sure that's what it is. So
it doesn't really show me his first name, but shout out to the other half of the Chaos Pattern, which I believe that dude lives in Texas.
I would not doubt it.
And they do shit the hard way. I don't think Aaron does anything fully digital.
Mm-hmm.
I think he does everything on a board, all analog still. or at least he was for a long time. That's what he told me. I'm like, God, dude, like, why? Like, dude, just, you know, update your shit. But it's the way he knows how. So it's like,
yeah,
you know, and then they just literally send MP3s back and forth, man. Like so many bands do nowadays anyway. So that's pretty cool. So
Gary Ordinary, that's yeah, how we do it.
Yep. Pretty much, man. So after the episode is done, don't forget, check out the Chaos Pattern with the Setting Sun. Now back to D-Lo.
Folks, it's a great time as always. Again, check out Kill or Be Killed if you haven't already. God damn it.
Big time, dude. Big time. You have to.
Yep. And until next time, eat your veggies.
Fuck your prayers.
We'll see you next time.
Later.
Darkness is